I chose that hymn because it indirectly has to do with my sermon. And I chose that tune, which I've always loved, because it stresses something very important, makes us repeat after all those verses. And why my soul? Why not for thee? Why should you go without? Why should you not believe? Why should you go to hell? These things are all there. Why shouldn't you do all that's necessary to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not for me? Now, the words of my text occur twice in a given verse. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 59, and they struck me, but I'm not going to talk about what you imagine. Long continuance of long continuance. I did read about a pandemic in this country that lasted 15 years. Well, we've still got 13 to go, something like that. And the plagues that the Lord promised to the people of God, if they were not obedient unto his word, was that they would have these great plagues and sicknesses, all the things they'd seen in Egypt, things they'd never heard of as well, and they would be of long continuance. So, the subject today is choice. Choice. And why should we not go for the good, but go for the bad? Why should we not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and prefer to go to hell? The people of Israel had to make a choice. You can read it up for yourself if you like, but the Lord promises blessing if they continue to believe and trust in him and have faith in him. But if they turn aside to idols and other gods and the gods of the nations, they will be cursed, and among the curses will be plagues of long continuance. So the people of Israel were being invited, if you like, to make a choice. Without the help of the Lord, of course, they would go wrong. And by and large, in the future, they did go wrong. And by and large, the majority of people in this world do go wrong and make the wrong decision. It looks as if the rich young ruler made the wrong decision not to go along with Christ. Never had the chance to change his mind and knew from the beginning that he'd made the wrong one. Choice. Choice concerning God. Joshua said, just before he died, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Having said to them, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. And they said, well, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua said, be careful. If you say you're going to serve the Lord and you don't, you're in worse trouble than ever. And indeed, that's what happened. After his death, which coincided with the death of Eleazar, the high priest, a new order arose. And the faith was kept by those who'd been alive in Joshua's time and overlived him. But as soon as they could after that, they turned aside to other gods, made marriages with people of other nations and followed their gods. And soon they went astray. And you know, the book of Judges is the whole story of the people of Israel going astray, being badly punished by one of his sore judgments, a judge rising up and delivering them, and then going astray again and having more trouble. Sometimes they went astray for a long time, and they were troubled for a long time, and the Lord rose up a judge who gave them peace for a long time. Sometimes the judges only got them peace for 6 or 7 years. Sometimes the time that they went being dealt with by the enemy was hard and cruel. Gideon, you remember, was threshing by the floor in order to keep it from the sight of the Midianites. The Midianites were coming down, letting them do all the harvest, letting them do all the work, and then when it was ripe, just coming down and pinching it. That was the punishment. So often the punishment was that other sort of judgment warfare. But they made their choice, and they knew the consequences. Now, why would anybody make a wrong choice knowing the consequences and knowing that those consequences were bad? Why did Adam sin? Not Eve, but Adam. Adam could have said to Eve, couldn't he? Well, the Lord told us not to do it. I'm not going to do it. But that isn't what he did. He ate the apple with Eve. In other words, the desire was either not to leave her out in the cold or to show his identification with her. And by showing his identification with her, he of course showed that that was the way the human race would go. The human race makes wrong choices sometimes because of people we love. They're not saved, well, we aren't going to be saved. And that, again, is not a right reason. There are other reasons, too, why we might decide that though we know what's best, we'll go along with our friends. We'll do what our contemporaries do. We won't stand out about the crowd. And consequently, we do what is wrong. The long continuance of what the Lord spoke about here, of which the Lord spoke about, was a few years. A few years in anyone's life. And maybe not more than 70 years, even in the time of the judges. Mind you, 70 years is a long time. But the penalty for disobeying the law was something of long continuance, but for a limited time. That is to say, they'd be free from it when they died, or they might not outlive the plague, they might die during the plague. And even if it was 15, 20, 25, 30, 70 years, it was of long continuance, but of limited continuance. Which leads me to what I want to say. There is a decision to be made in which the mistake means the long continuance of evil, of which there is no ending. It's that long. There is a children's hymn, I forget which one it is now, that has a line has a verse along the line of, "Shall I spend that long, long time with thee?" A long time. A child may understand that it is a long time. The long time, of course, being spoken about is the eternity of heaven or the eternity of hell. We are taught in the Bible that what we are at death is what will count forever. You remember the story of Dives and Lazarus? And Jesus told that parable about every single person. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And the man who enjoyed his earthly things here went to hell. And when he wanted to get out of hell, put in the mouth of Abraham, but God is saying to him, "You had your good things here. You're not going to have good things now." And to Lazarus, "You had bad things while you were alive. You may have good things in heaven." Or as Spurgeon puts it in a very pithy expression, where death leaves us, judgment finds us, and eternity holds us. So we have to make a decision. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question for us is, are we going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? That is the greatest question of all. None of the other questions that scientists engage in, none of the other things that need to be discovered, nothing even begins to rival that which makes the difference between us spending eternity in hell and eternity in heaven. It's appalling to think of the difference. And it is appalling to think what some people will give up heaven for. They'll give up heaven to go dancing. They'll give up heaven to go be immoral. They'll give up heaven to do things on the Lord's Day which the Lord says don't do. They're not that important, but we wanted to do them. Human nature wants to do what it wants to do. And the Bible clear teaching is clear. If you do that, you're making a decision, perhaps over the years without consciously doing so, but by carelessness, you are drifting into hell. A conscious decision of choosing the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. I suppose all of us here do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, you then have to ask, what does belief in the Lord Jesus Christ mean? One of the difficulties of explaining the gospel to somebody who's not been on a fairly regular basis is trying to explain all the nuances. Peter preaches, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So you say, well, I do believe on him. But that isn't saving faith, saving belief. There's a particular thing that Jesus came to do, a particular thing that Jesus stands for, that without which we don't believe in him. If we're not going to be like him, if we don't want to do the things he said do, then we don't actually believe in him. We're a bit like Balaam, who says, oh, that my last day might be like his, but not prepared to do anything about making it so. So, what do? Do we do the things that we like doing? Do we not face them up and say, what I want to do above all is follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And that following means looking at my old way of life, understanding how bad it is in the sight of God and repenting of it. And though I repent of it, it doesn't follow that I'm going to be forgiven. I must plead with the Saviour for it. I must want it that badly. Sometimes Jesus delayed one of the blind people and delayed the man we thought about this morning from making the better, just to strengthen their faith, just to see if they've got that faith to wait a bit longer. And Jesus calls us to repent and to see that we mean it. He leaves us sorrowing and repentance, perhaps, for a little while, for a longer while, perhaps for a year, but it doesn't compare with the long continuance of hell. And then, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must understand what is involved. That at Calvary, those who confess the Lord and believe in him and have repented were absolutely forgiven. Then once and for all, every sin which they've already committed and that they ever will commit is forgiven on Calvary. Not that you can take it for granted and say, I can do anything. The Lord won't have that. But we believe in the real Lord Jesus who came. And the reason of his coming was for sin and to die for sin. Not difficult to understand. If you or I have ever sinned such a tiny sin even once, then we can't go to heaven without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason, as I suggested this morning, is this, that there can't even be a speck of evil in heaven. It's driven out once and for all. So that if there is any sin not dealt with by God in your life, you go to hell. Until such times as you come and confess, and are brought low, and seek that every single sin is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I was reading through Leviticus not long ago, was impressed by how much little detail needed to be atoned for by the blood of the sacrifice. And surely that was to teach us that absolutely every sin, little or otherwise, must come under the blood of the Lord Jesus if we are to be forgiven. So there's a content in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that those come to him, that come to him, he'll in no wise cast out. And that those that come to him shall receive eternal life. And he shall raise them up in the last day. And all these are wonderful things. But it needs content. Hell is a long continuance. Accepting heaven, nothing to equal it. And it's a place to avoid. We're funny people. We can loathe evil in some forms, provided it isn't our natural form of evil. But no form of evil will be allowed into heaven. And only those who have the blood of the Lord Jesus covering their sins will go into heaven. It's a big decision. And for young people, which is the time when many people are saved, perhaps a majority. For young people, the sort of things that make it hard is what will other people say. They still want to be approved by others, especially those of their own age group. What will other people say? And it's surprising sometimes that in the mercy of God, they don't say what you think they're going to say. I remember when I was saved, I stood up in front of the class and I said to them, I become a Christian. There'll be no more dirty stories, no more nasty tales, nothing like that again here. Do you know they did it? I remember once being in a fraternal of different denominations at Auburn. And I stood out against one particular thing. The minute I'd left, they followed the Roman Catholics and did it. We can make a stand for what is right, and we should not let anybody else's thinking sway us. There may be teachers, there may be pop stars, there may be football stars who say to us, well, you know, or who would say to us, you don't want to be doing that sort of thing. You don't want to be believing that sort of thing. But they don't care for your soul. What do they care for you? What are they going to try and do for you throughout eternity? How much do they love you? How much do they want you? What do they know about you? Why should you follow them? And the word of God, the Bible, the words of the Lord Jesus and of his Father are there to go by. The reason I jokingly said we won't read Deuteronomy 28 altogether because it has 68 verses, I'd rather you just read from Deuteronomy 26 through to Judges something, is the cumulative effect it has that the Lord Jesus promised them blessings, but if they didn't obey, cursings. And it's repeated and it carries on. And the persistence to continue in sin never abates. I plead with you. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast all your burdens upon him, for he careth for you. Cast all your sins upon the work of his cross and know your sins forgiven. Know that you are a child of heaven. Know that you have eternal life. Know that you are not the same as once you were, and that can be a very liberating experience. Trust the Lord Jesus. We had the example of Thomas. Began it badly, at least. Went through a bad stage in the middle. He always trusted the Lord. And then at his death, he lost it. And then the Lord called him back. And he didn't want to wait any longer. He just was over head and heels into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never wanted to be like that bad time. May it be that you never want to remain in the sins that have governed your life, been part of your life, and which would keep you out of heaven. That you never want to remain for the hell which is of long continuance. May the Lord bless us all. Amen.